Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we ended up going to
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Today, I'm actually going to be hosting the broadcast, and my name is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, the wife of Apostle McQueen. Apostle is not able to be here this morning. He had to go for a ministry engagement, so he asked me to step in for him for today. So here I am, amen, and just letting you know, Apostle sends his love, and next Tuesday at 7 p.m., which is a perfect segue into the announcement. So this coming Tuesday at 7 p.m., Apostle will be back in place, amen, to host Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. So that's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Also on Thursday, at 7 p.m., you can join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. ctkr.org is also our website, people of God. Please take some time to get to know more about us, myself and Apostle McQueen, as well as Christ the King Redemptive Ministries as a whole. We also have a strong mission ministry that God, has placed under our covering. We have many sons and daughters that are overseas, over in Africa, Uganda, Pakistan, India, different areas like that. And not only do they just need our prayers and financial support, but they also need your prayers and financial support as well. On our website, you could take some time to get to know them as well, our different sons and daughters that are under our covering. We have schools, we have churches, we have orphanages, amen. And some of them just ask for prayer only, but some of them also need your financial support to continue doing the work that God has ordained for them to do, amen. So take some time again to go to our website, www.ctkr.org, and there we also have a donate button. So if the Lord touches your heart and wants you to donate, we have that donate button. Click on there, write in that box what you wish to give, amen, and we will make sure that it gets right to the proper place it needs to go, amen, in the mighty name of Jesus. Just know as you're lending to the poor, you are lending to the Lord, amen, and we are excited about it. They are doing wonderful, miraculous things in the plan of God. Making a impact, amen, in the area that God has ordained them to be, amen. And speaking of that, just want to let you know, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries has a Facebook page. Like us on our Facebook page. Send us your prayer requests, your prayer praise reports as well. Encouraging words. You want to give a shout out to your church and your pastor, your apostle, your pastor, or your prophet. whoever you want to give a shout out to, please do that as well on my, even on my Facebook page, Woman of Prophetic Destiny, WOPD, is also my Facebook page that you can give a shout out to. And for those of you, who have been asking and asking and asking, Prophetess Crystal has finally uploaded several preaching, several engagements, several engagements that the Lord has allowed me to go to and minister His word. So now you could also put a face to the name. So many of us were like, if I could just see what the person looks like, well, now you could actually not only see me, but you could actually hear the word of God, amen, that He has given me. So that is on my Facebook page as well. And it's also attached and linked to our YouTube page as well under Bishop Works or Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Now, for those of you who would like Apostle or myself to come and minister at any one of your programs, we do have a contact page, amen, that is also on our website. Please give us detailed information, amen, a name, a number, an email address, as well as someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours for the ministry engagement, amen, amen. Now, without further ado, let's go ahead and pray, and then we can go ahead and get into this word, amen, amen. Let's pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank You for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Father, we thank You for keeping us protected all through the night. We thank You for everything being in order as we awoke this morning. Father, even now, before we even begin any further, Lord, we bow before You. We humble ourselves at Your mercy, at Your feet. Father, we say and ask for all forgiveness. We ask that You would wash us and cleanse us, forgive us for all sin of omission and commission. Wash us and clean us and sanctify us in Your blood. In the mighty name of Jesus, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, wash our minds, wash our souls, wash our spirit. Purify us, God, in Your blood. Make us white as snow. In the mighty name of Jesus, that as we go forth today, Father, that You will have Your way, You will be able to minister as You wish to minister. Speak forth the oracles this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, let someone hear this word and let it begin to shake and shift. Father, I'm asking right now in Jesus' name that this word will be ignited, that this word will bring clarity, that this word will bring peace, that this word will bring healing. Whatever the needs of Your people are this morning, Father, we decree and declare that the word that will go forth this morning, it shall be the answer that they seek in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, even now, I ask, I decrease, You increase. Let the meditation of my heart and my mouth be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I give Your name all praise, glory, and honor. I thank You right now. I glorify Your name. You are the great I am. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Right wherever you are, people of God, give them a praise. Put those hands together and give them a praise right where you are. Whether it's in the bathroom or in your bedroom or in the front room or in the corridor or your kitchen, give them some glory. Amen and amen and amen again. God is good, y'all, and all the time God is good. And I know it's a cliche that we use, but let's be honest, God is good. Amen. Regardless, we may not have everything in order. We may not have everything we want. There may be some issues and circumstances going on in our lives, but we got to look at ourselves and realize that who we were yesterday is not who we are today, and I'm glad about it. Amen. And I hope you are too. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, the message that I want, but the Lord has dropped in my spirit, familiar passage, amen, coming out of the New King James Version of the Bible. And it starts off, and I'm getting ready to read, but it talks about the 70. And we all have read that familiar passage of Scripture when it talks about Jesus sending out the 70. But the one thing that was very powerful to me is that when He sent them out, the 70, He sent them on a mission. Mm-hmm. a mission, an assignment. And if you know anything about Prophetess McQueen and Apostle McQueen, we are always talking about your mission and your assignment. And my topic this morning, for those of you who like topics and themes, what is your mission? Do you know your mission? And for some of us, we need to get a mission. It's very important, people of God, because as I've said before time and time again, the Lord did not save you. He did not have choose you, amen, and appoint you and fill you with his precious Holy Spirit for you to sit on the sidelines of life. He did not save you for you to try to blend in to the background. He did not sanctify you and make you holy and put and cover you in his precious blood and keep you from all hurt, harm, and danger so that you could just pass through life, not even making a ripple. And we have many Christians in out now, many people that are out now that are walking, that are saved, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but yet they still are confused. They're still walking in a cloud, amen, of confusion as to what is my purpose, what is my ministry, what is my destiny. And when you do not know, and you've heard me say this many, many times before, when you do not know who you are, other people will give you an assignment. They will give you a vision that is not necessarily the vision that God has ordained for you to have. It's not necessarily the mission or the assignment, the task, amen, that God has for you to do. And many of us will sit here and spin our wheels and operate, amen, in areas that God never intended for us to operate. And we're going forth in these assignments, amen, that man has placed up on us, and we're still unfulfilled, and we're still unhappy, and we're still not seeing breakthroughs, and we're still not seeing prayers met, and we're still not moving forth, and we're still not coming into our own. Do you hear me this morning? So tonight I'm this morning, I'm challenging everyone, prophetess included, that this is the moment. From this day forward, the 5th, the 6th of July, this day forward, wherever you may be in the world, you have to realize from this moment that it is your mandate. This is your mandate to find out what God has called you to do. And for those of you who already know what God has called you to do, but you're still sitting in the background hoping don't nobody see you, this is your mandate that you come out of the darkness into the light, come out of the shadows into the light, come out of the cave into the light, and get to doing what God has called you to do. This is every word that has been coming forth is talking about manifestation. And if you've been with me, you know since 2013, January, when it came in, I was talking about that this is the year that we need to produce. More so than ever, the word has been echoing throughout the body of Christ. Those that are assigned and tuned in, amen, to his voice, is the same word that has been going forth throughout the kingdom. This is your assignment and your year, your season to produce. Even those of you, amen, who have failed. I tried to produce prophets, but things still didn't work out. It failed. The dream burned up in my hand. It was smoke. It was ashes. And God is still even saying, try it again. So whatever he has given you to do, you can no longer rest back. You can no longer make excuses. You can no longer talk about this person's holding me back, this situation's holding me back. Oh, it's the enemy. Let's be real. It's the enemy within you. You yourself are holding yourself back. God has given you everything that you need. Everything he's assigned for you is on the inside of you to do what you need to do. All you need to do is step out, walk on water, and do what God has called you to do. I'm going to let that marinate for a second. Because many are still waiting for God to jump out of the air and drop stuff in our lap. You still have the responsibility to go after it. The doors are not going to be open until you knock. Even in the Bible, it says knock, and the door shall be open. So there's still some responsibility, say it with me, some responsibility that you have to play in this thing called Christendom. All right. I see some of y'all talking about, well, I don't know. I don't know about all of that. I'm not trying to move before my time. I'm not trying. First of all, you need to get that lie that the enemy has placed in your ear and in your hearing out, uprooted in the name of Jesus, and pull it out, because it's nothing but an excuse. It's nothing but a way to keep you held back. And let's face it. Let's be honest. One thing about the prophet is always about being true. I'm not talking about those that are bound by some addictions. I'm not talking about those who just came in, who are really dealing with them, who are just came into Christendom. I'm talking about those of us who know the Lord. I'm talking about those of us who have been walking with God for some time. I'm talking about those of us who know his voice, who know his ways, who know his word. It is time for you, son, daughter, pastor, prophet, pastor, teacher, prophet, apostle, whoever you may be at this moment, it is time for you to move forth. Don't put the title on your back and you're not doing what he's called you to do. Yeah, I done made somebody mad, but it's going to be all right. You're going to get delivered today. Let us read out of Luke chapter 10, starting at the first verse. And the Bible says this: after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I sent you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal. Somebody say heal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But sit there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter, they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. And the word of the Lord is blessed. Now, here we have Jesus appointing the 70. He appointed, besides the 12 apostles, he appointed 70 others to go forth before him and send them two by two to the cities and the places where he was about to go. So, in other words, son and daughter, man and woman of God, in other words, when God places his hand upon your life and says that there's a calling, there's a work, there's a ministry for you to do, he already has mapped out your destiny for you to where he wants to send you and where he wants to go to minister to those souls that are lost. For some of us, we're upset because we don't like where he's sending us. We want to be on the mountain, as I always said. We want to build ourselves a kingdom unto I. We want the lights. We want the cameras. We want the action. We want people to fall at our feet the minute that we lift up our hands and call on the name of Jesus. We want people to say, "What? This is what happened when you prayed for me." We want all the accolades. And for some of us, your ministry, amen, may be right to your family. Your ministry may be to the homeless. Your ministry may be to the ones in jail. Your ministry may be to people that no one really cares about. Just saying. And because you've been looking at everybody else and they got this, that, and the other, and they doing this, that, and the other, you feel that you are insignificant because you're not doing what they are doing. Well, let me help you today. God has given them what he's given them. And some people, they're not walking in their full calling. They're running after the lights, the camera, and the action themselves. That's not what God called them to do. So don't get caught up in all of the smoke and the mirrors. I've said it before. Find out what he's called you to do. when you come to the place and the acceptance of what God has asked you to do and is willing to go the extra mile and say, yes, Lord, I will. Whatever you call me to do, I will do it. There you will find your peace, your contentment in Christ. There you will find your fulfillment. There you will find your complete wholeness, because God will do for you when you come into the place where you meet up what he's asked you to do, that everything starts lining up. The prayers get answered. Uh-huh. The money comes through. Uh-huh. People become saved. Uh-huh. You start seeing the power of God move. Uh-huh. You start seeing manifestation. Uh-huh. Those things will all start working together because you are doing what he's called you to do. What am I saying? Your life is already mapped out before him. So if you're still sitting on the bench, you're not fulfilling his will. Even if you are not called to be in nobody's pulpit, let me help someone out here. Even if you're not called to be in nobody's pulpit, you are still called to minister the gospel. You are still called to challenge someone to be saved. You are still called to bring somebody to Christ. We are all ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have a ministry. Somebody say, I have a ministry.
I have a ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. You got a ministry. You got a ministry. It may not be the ministry that prophetess has, but you still have a ministry. There is somebody on your road. There's somebody in your life. There's somebody coming your way in the next 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year that only you, man or woman of God, can minister to, that I don't have a voice in their ear. But if I don't get lined up where I'm supposed to be, if you don't get lined up where you're supposed to be, then you're going to miss the assignment. You're going to miss that Kairos meeting. You're going to miss that timing. Just trying to help somebody tonight, or this morning, excuse me. Excuse me, amen. He said this, verse 2, then he said to them, the harvest. Mm-hmm. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Verse Matthew 9:37 says, he said to his disciples, the harvest is so great, but the workers are few. What is the harvest? The world. The harvest, and I'm going to take it even further than this. It used to be those that were unsaved. But now when you look at the church as a whole, we almost need to go right back and start at the house. The church of God, the house of God first, get us together, get us clean, get us resaved, get us refilled, get the power back, get the anointing back, get our calls back, repent, get delivered, get healed, get all this junk out of us, and then we can minister to somebody outside of the four walls. Oh, yeah, I know I'm right about it, because a lot of us are still sitting here wearing masks. We're still sitting up here wearing old hurts. We're still sitting up here acting like nothing's wrong. We got hate in our heart. We got jealousy in our heart. We're holding stuff against people. We done got pride. We done got all kind of fear up in us. We need deliverance. We got chains binding us up, and yet we're still sitting up here talking about God can do everything, and yet you walk out of the doors the same way you come in the doors, and you're telling other people that they need to be saved. When the unsaved look at you, they don't see no victory in your life. Why do I want to be saved when I don't see no victory in your life? Why do I want to be saved when you aren't talking about the pastor? Why do I want to be saved when you're talking about everybody in your church? Why do I want to, I already know what's going on out here. When I come to Jesus, I want to see change. I want to be whole. I want something new in my life. And if I'm listening to that junk that's coming out of your mouth and you need some strongholds broken off of you, then something is going on. I know our God cannot fail. The last time I checked, he's still the God that sits on the throne, and he's still the Savior of the world. So somewhere, someplace, we need to get ourselves lined up with his will, lined up with his purpose, and do what he's called us to do. Can I get an amen from somebody in the house? Lord have mercy. We got to get this mess together, y'all. He said here in 38, Matthew 9 and 37 and 38, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers for his field. Now listen, prophetess is not up here saying ain't nobody saved, because that's a lie. Progress is not saying nobody's not delivering, nobody's not living right, because that's a lie. There are people that have not bowed down to Baal. There are a people that God has, a remnant within a remnant, that's doing everything that he's called them to do. And he's got them sitting in the background on purpose. But it's coming a time very, very soon, sooner than you think, where he's going to bring those people who you've been looking at saying they ain't about nothing, they ain't trying to do nothing, they're not going to get anything, they just sitting up here doing nothing. He's going to bring them forward. And when they do, they're going to have the power, they're going to have the strength of God, they're going to have the manifestation, they're not going to take them to casting out devils, they ain't going to take no mess, they're going to live a holy life. They're going to be sanctified. They're going to do everything that you were supposed to do that God gave you. And don't get upset when they surpass you. Don't get upset when they start doing what God has called them to do, and he actually takes your gift and puts it on them, or their assignment that you were given, and he puts it on them. Don't get upset talking about that was my vision, that was my dream, that's what God gave me. Well, baby, he ain't had time to wait for you. I don't know why we sit up here and think that God's going to wait for us. When we see the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we're still sitting up here talking about we just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting. Well, you know what? Keep waiting, because God is moving swiftly. Amen? Swiftly. And in a minute, you're going to see a lot of changes that are going to come forth. And those that have been quiet in the background are coming forth with the power of God and heaven backing them up to do what he's called them to do. Why? Because Jesus is coming. Not yet. He's coming very soon. Every day you wake up, he's one step closer than what he was yesterday. And we need to, as a church, as a nation, we need to get a true up here revelation of what's going on. We are coming into the, we are already living in the last days. I'm not talking about we just got here. Time is winding up, and every day things are taking place for the coming of the true king. And we can't sit back here trying to get another program off. We can't sit back here trying to make sure we got all these top-notch people preaching at our churches. We need somebody preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ with the power of God. It's going to take the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, to deliver some of these people, some of this mess that walks up in our churches. To see demons manifest, it's going to take the power of God. Not your title, not your speaking in tongues. It's going to take his power. And for you to get his power means your lifestyle has to change from the weak, the mundane, the mediocre, to one that's sanctified, one that's living this word, one that's walking out this word, constantly striving and moving forward into maturity. Oh, yes, we're going to make mistakes. Yes, nobody's perfect. Yes. But we can't continue to repeat the cycle over and over again and try to use grace as a cover all. One point somewhere in our lives, amen, we got to make up in our mind to say, you know what, I had enough of this. I'm breaking the chain in Jesus' name. I'm rooting it out. I'm moving forward to what the kingdom, for what the king has for me. Is there anybody out there this morning? Listen, trying to help all of us, because we got to make it. I want to be saved to the utmost. My spiritual mother used to say that all the time, Mother Stella Boyd, Jesus, save us to the utmost. That's what my prayer has become the longer that I have walked in this way called salvation. I'm asking God to save me to the utmost. Because the more that you look at yourself, you realize that flesh is too much alive. We still have too much opinion that we value higher than the word of God. We have too much of our likes and dislikes that we hold higher than the word of God. We have too many other things that we consider higher, amen, than obedience and obeying God's voice. We got too many things ahead of him, and really want to add somewhere down the list, five of the top 10 things, somewhere in 5 or 6 or 7, then we want to hear what God has to say. I want to be saved to the utmost. John 4:35 says this: do you think the work of harvesting will not begin until the summer ends 4 months from now? Look around you. Someone say, look around you. Look around. That fields are ripening all around us and already now. Someone say now. For the harvest. In other words,
This thing is happening now. People need to be saved now. People need to be delivered now. People need to know about Jesus Christ now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year, but now. And how are you going to get to that harvest, man or woman of God, if you refuse to get up off your chair? How are you going to get to that harvest? As long, well, I got a little position. Who cares about the position if ain't nobody being affected? If you were with me 2 weeks ago, I told you, ministry, true ministry, is about the lives that you are changing with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If ain't nobody's life changing, yeah, I use the word ain't. If ain't nobody's life changing, huh? Yeah, they're doing a lot of jumping and shucking and jiving and shouting and rolling all on, but that don't mean nothing. Do you hear what I'm saying? It only comes into being when I see the application, when I start seeing the change in the person's life. Then you know that things have been affected. When all you see is the jumping, the shouting, the shucking and jiving, and they still looking the same way they did 3 years ago, you got to ask yourself some questions. I know it's hard this morning, but I'm just going to tell you how God's giving it to me. Because it's time out for us still sitting here and talking about I don't know when. Well, one day, when the Lord say, I'm going to pray about it. Stop praying about it and get to doing what the Lord has already spoken. Amen. Yes, there's some things that God prophesies or speaks to you that are going to come to pass in time. I'm not talking about those words, but there's some things that God continuously speaks to us over and over again, and he's been speaking it to us for 5, 10, 15, some of us 20 years, and we're still talking about, I don't know, Lord. I'm just waiting on you. When is it going to manifest? You allow fear, you allow doubt, you allow unbelief. How in the world are you going to walk on water if you never get out the doggone boat? How are you going to start that ministry if you never just even speak to one person about who Christ is? Huh? How are you going to talk about, Lord, give me the gift of healing, and you don't even want to lay hands on somebody that got a headache? Hello? You out there? We need to get a revelation of what our purpose really is. And it's not for us to sit around each other and slather each other down with oil, because that's all we want to do. We want to lay hands on each other, touch your neighbor, touch your friend, speak to your neighbor, slap them upside the head. All we want to do is lay hands on each other, but we don't want to go out and apply what has been given. We don't want to apply the lessons, because here's the fact. I'm going to say this and I'm going to roll on. The problem is, many of us know that we're not living the life that we portray in the church house. So the reason we'll get here, we'll jump, we'll shout, we'll do everything we want to do, but then when it comes time to apply it outside the house, we don't want to do it because we know we're not at the place we need to be operating at. So in other words, when you get out here, this is the real stuff. You're dealing with real demons. You're dealing with real broken people. You're dealing with real people that got issues and circumstances. And for some, you can't lay a hand on them, but you and say God begins to move. But there's others, you lay a hand, and you still got to minister, and you still got to minister, and you still have to minister. It's not let me lay a hand on you one time and walk away. Some people, you got to pour the life of Christ into them because they're broken sisters. Do you hear what I'm saying? And it's your job to be the healing balm, the balm in Gilead, to heal those broken places by the power of the Holy Ghost and begin to minister and pour into them until they become strong enough, until they realize their purpose in life that God has ordained for them, until they can walk on their own. But if you're not living that life, if you're not walking in that place, they'll call you out. And that's what people don't want to deal with, because when you get outside the four walls, you're dealing with the truth, the real. We always talk about let's keep it real, so let's keep it real. Those things, those demons, those spirits, those people will deal with you right at the level. They'll call you out. They'll talk about you. They'll do whatever it is. If you have not gotten to the place you need to get. I'm not talking about perfection. No one is perfect, but you need to be striving and asking God to change your heart and change your mind and quit all this foolishness and making all these excuses why you can't do, why you can't say, why you can't go. Because the real test is out here in the streets. The real test is at your job. The real test, The harvest is truly great. Let me get back to this word. My time is running away. Verse 2, then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. His harvest, not yours, not mine. His harvest. These are God's saints, y'all. Pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, these are God's saints. These are God's people. These aren't your personal people. He's just allowed you and given you temporary charge over them. But he didn't say rule them with an iron fist either. He didn't say keep them there until you felt when they need to be released, but you're not doing anything to get them to grow. Still holding on to your 22. Well, the reason may be nothing new is coming in. Well, the reason that might be like that is because you won't pour into the ones that God has given you so that they can grow up and then get others to make room for the new. Let me move on. Verse 3, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Remember I talked about the real test is in the streets. The real test is outside of the church walls. The real test is after the revival. The real test is after that powerful word that came forth. The real test is after that prophetic word just came forth in your life. Then comes the real test. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. So in other words, after you get what God has told you to do, your job, our job is to not worry about how we're going to do this thing. Our job and our main concern is to make sure that we stay in God's face and he will lead us. You lead us and guide us to the proper places we need to be. But you got to keep your ear tuned to his voice. Why do I say that? I say that because a lot of times, people of God, we have a perception of who we need to be meeting, a perception of who, where certain places we need to go, where we need to be aligning ourselves to, or aligning ourselves up with, or who we need to have in our area of influence. And sometimes God will have that person that you least likely wanted to look at, that least person that you really didn't think really had nothing, was really, quiet, didn't really have anything to do with anything. And that will be the one that is your connection, amen, to everything that you've been asking God to do in your life. Oh, yes, I know what I'm talking about. You have got to keep your ear attuned to his voice. You got to be right on the same frequency that the Holy Spirit is on, because he will lead you where you need to go, and you'll quit looking at certain, because we have a tendency to believe that certain people of influence have what we need. And sometimes it's that person that least has the influence, but they have the connection and the favor to where you're trying to go. Then whatever house you enter, verse 5, first say peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. If God is in the place, and there's going to be times that the Lord is going to send you on assignment, and the people will receive you. And I'm not always talking about preaching in somebody's house. Wherever the assignment may be, it may be to that young mother down the street that has those five kids, and he may ask you to go down there and help her clean her house one day, or go down there and help her watch those kids. Whatever the case may be attuned to the Holy Spirit. And the thing is this, he says, well, wherever house you enter, peace to the house. And if God's Spirit is there, the peace will be there. In other words, you'll feel in your spirit, the Holy Ghost will tell you, yeah, this is it. But there's also going to be times, people of God, he's going to send you on assignment, and he knows that the people will not receive him. But it's still your purpose and your mandate to minister. It's still your mandate to spread the love. Well, they ain't going to use me. I don't know what you're talking about. They ain't going to use me, prophetess. Well, that's the problem. They used Jesus. Did they not? So how do we? That's what I said earlier. We're too busy caught up on our own personal thing. We feel that our opinions matter. Your opinion does not matter when it comes to God's word. Your feelings, amen, do not matter when it comes to pursuing, when it comes to fulfilling, when it comes to assignment. He don't care about that. It's about assignment. And when we get that, because we done got hung up on, that he's touched by our infirmities. Yes, he is. He is touched by your infirmities when he has you in a situation that you're going through, that the enemy's testing and trying you on. You're hurt for the gospel's sake. Let me put the clause on that. For the gospel's sake. You're living all you can and things are going sideways for the gospel's sake. But most of us, we just don't feel like doing nothing for nobody. I don't feel like going down there today. I don't feel like talking. Every time I go down there, she's going to ask me for some money. I don't want no money to be involved for me today. But I don't feel like doing anything today. Let me tell you something. Assignments, some of them have deadlines, and some of them don't. Assignments, there's some assignments, even at your job, there are assignments that are due immediately, and there are assignments that are due down the road. Same thing in the body of Christ. There are assignments that he has us to do that must be done immediately. And we can't be sitting there talking about, well, I don't know. I don't feel. I don't think. I don't know. Sometimes you don't even have to. And our thing is, you don't always have to have that Bible in your hand when you're going to be a light, when you're going to minister. Sometimes it's just being there. Sometimes it's just hearing, having an ear to hear what people have to say. Sometimes it's your presence being in there, in the atmosphere, that'll cause a situation to turn around and change. You don't have to always be quoting the scripture 24/7. Just be there. You are the living word, are we not? We are epistles read of men, are we not? Be the light. Sometimes people jump away from us because we're trying to quote Genesis to Revelation. Forget all that. Sometimes it's just being there. Holding the hand, speaking a kind word, letting somebody, just being in their presence. Help me, Holy Ghost. But whatever, verse 5, but wherever or whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Verse 7, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. All right. So he's saying, make sure hospitality. Don't be sticking your nose up at everything. I know. Believe me, I know. You go places, you minister the word, you pour out among the people, and they wanted to shake your hand and give you a chicken bone. Well, let's be honest, people of God. When you're on assignment, I know this isn't popular. I know it's not, because many of us have made the gospel a lucrative gig. Yeah, I'm going to say it like that. We made the gospel a lucrative gig, G-I-G. Not about ministering. It's not about seeing people set free. It's not about delivering the word. It's not about teaching and preaching Jesus Christ to anybody. It's about them living high and well and wealthy, and the more kingdom that I can add and the more stuff I can add to my kingdom, the greater I am in Jesus. The devil is a liar. Okay? Listen, there's some places I have been to, and the Lord has told me they are not going to have what you need, but I still need you to go and minister because there's someone I need to get. There's a word that needs to be deposited in the house. So I already knew when I went that the finances weren't going to be there. They weren't going to have everything lined up for me, but I still was on a task and a mandate to minister the gospel. And some of us forgot our mandates. I'm not going unless they give me $20,000, and then I got to have all my M&Ms and take all the green out of there because I don't like green M&Ms. So take all the green out now, and then when I come, I got to have my Starbucks coffee every morning when I wake up. It needs to be at the foot of the bed, if you can, at 8 o'clock in the morning when I wake up. You know, my contract, you know, I got to have it now. It's got to be a 5-star hotel, and I need to see it. If I don't want to be over in the corner nowhere. I need to see the view of the beach. The devil is a liar. Listen, I'm not saying anything that you need to be sleeping in somebody's basement. The prophet is not saying that at all. There are some people that will do you dirty. Trust and believe me. I know. I've been there. Huh? But I don't ward off assignments. If you're really attuned, amen, to the voice of the Lord, he will tell you, don't even go there. Don't even preach there. Don't accept that engagement. Because they're messy. That's how he talks to me, okay? I don't know how he talks to you, but this is how he talks to Prophetess Crystal. He'll say, they messy, don't go over there. So you know what? When they come, hey, I got to decline that thing. I got to decline it. But there's times I had to go. He's like, they're messy, but I need you to go because there's a word that has to be delivered to those people. And I had to go. And I had to, amen, sleep on somebody's couch. Do you hear what I'm saying? I had to accept the biscuit and the piece of chicken. But praise be to God. Every time I did that, when I left, God always managed to make sure that I received the blessing on the other side of it. Whatever I was missing, he made sure that thing was taken care of. So I don't have to pick and choose. And away with this stuff, and I'm going to say this too, and I'm going to move on. Away with this mess about how we done arrived somewhere and we can't preach at little churches. Who are you to talk about if you can't preach in no small church no more? Those people are just as saved as the people that are in the big church. In fact, the reality is you got your foundation, amen, let the truth be known, at the small church, laying up on the altar, calling on the name of Jesus, 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 and Jesus, Jesus, Jesus some more. And all that you will be developed in the small church. So how is it that now all of a sudden somebody then gave us a revelation that we can't minister to small churches anymore? What is this mess? Flesh on parade. That's what it is. Flesh on parade. And I know some of you, well, you ain't never ministered in no big church, so you can't. Yes, I have. And let me tell you this. The big churches have the same issues as the small church does. If not even more, because people hide in the big church. They hide. You don't even know who's all up in your house. All you got 20,000 people. You don't know who's all up in your house. They got the same issues, demons, situations, circumstances right in their house. But you're looking at the dollar bill. You're looking at the notoriety. This person's connected to this person. So if I get over here and preach here, then I can get over here and do this. And then the greater I shall be in the kingdom of God. Check your motives, y'all. Check your motives. 1 Corinthians 10 and 27 says this. If someone who isn't a Christian asks you home for dinner, go ahead. Accept the invitation if you want to. Eat whatever is offered to you, and don't ask any questions about it. Your conscience should not be bothered by this. Oh, all right. Many of us who've been taught, don't go over nobody's house and they say, because you don't know if they're putting some roots and stuff on you. Don't eat from it. Now, listen. Now, this is Prophetess Crystal talking now. We'll take Prophetess off. This is Crystal talking. I have an issue with people who don't wash their hands. That's how I grew up. And I have an issue when people mix their food with their hands. Okay? That's me. That's my personal pet. This ain't got nothing to do with God or nothing. This is Crystal talking. My opinion, my feeling. I don't like when people mix stuff up in, with their hands, okay? That's nasty to me. Okay, grab a spoon. That's what the spoon and fork is built for. Mix it, and then let's go. But we have this tendency to believe, amen. I don't want to eat that because they might have some root on it. You don't know, people got all the demons up in their house. Listen, if you have the power of God on the inside of you, can't no witch put nothing on, no hex, no root, no nothing. And let me put the curve on this thing. And if you have discernment, he will let you know. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. Stay back from that. He'll let you know. You don't have to. When you stay in God's face and in alignment with his will and his purpose for you, I promise you he will not let you fall off a cliff nowhere. But when you go in your own flesh, going in your own desires, going in your own opinion, then that's when we always hit the brick wall. That's when we always fall off the cliff. That's when we always end up in the valley somewhere, talking about, Lord, how did I get here? You didn't ask him. You just went. You felt like him. You just went. You just did your own thing. But when he's leading you, the Bible says in here, if someone who isn't a Christian asks you home for dinner, go ahead. Don't worry about it. Pray over it. Bind up everything in the name of Jesus. And you don't have to do it all in front of everybody. Father, I rebuke every dinner. You just say it under your breath. Eat the food and move on. Minister the gospel while you're at. Show hospitality while you're at and move on. Yeah. He said, and eat whatever is offered to you, and don't ask any questions about it. What's this? Who made that? Huh? You know, and you know African-American people are bad with that. Who made, we always talk about who made something. Who made this? Who cooked that? Because you know when we find out who did, we won't even touch it. Especially if we know they got cats or people, you know, the cats, dogs, the whole thing. You know how we are, people. You know how we are. But there's some places you just had, if they offer you, just eat it, pray over it, eat it, and go on in Jesus' name. You can't offend. When people offer you food, they're offering you a part of who they are. They're saying, I'm comfortable enough. I'm exposing myself to you. I'm giving you all that I have. This is who I am. When people cook for you, they're sharing their lives with you. And we can't spit in their face because it may be some lima beans, and because prophetess does not like lima beans, okay? Lima beans is on the plate. I don't like lima beans. But you know what? For the sake of the gospel and ministering and being effective, I'm going to eat some of those lima beans. Put some salt, a little pepper, hot sauce. I'm going to eat the lima beans. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, I don't want this message. Ooh, get this away from me. But then you want to try to preach Jesus to somebody. Ain't nobody hearing that. We can't offend. We can't use the gospel to offend people. And we can't be so finicky and picky. Because there's some places, amen, that God's going to send you. Some of us, he's called to the mission field. You know good and well, you over there in the mission field, there is no hot sauce, there is no salt, there is no pepper. It is what it is from out of the ground, depending on where he's called you to. And you don't have time to offend those people that are in the village and you want to preach Jesus to them. You can't preach to them when you can't accept who they are when they offer you their food. All right. Verse 7. My time is getting away. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Don't go begging. I'm going to eat at your house on Monday, your house on Tuesday, their house on Wednesday. Find one place. Stay there. Minister. Whatever city you enter. And they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. Don't be talking about, and all these folks with the pig and all this other issues. And listen. Help me, Jesus, listen. All right. Maybe you got your own medication. You got to stay away from, you know, they can't put a pile of ribs on your plate. Okay. Maybe eat one rib. Or find another substitute so they still. You got your chicken here? Put the chicken on the plate. Nobody has to know all this other, I'm against the pig and the pig. And don't get offended by other people that happen to eat the pig or happen to eat the things that you considered foul. Remember, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about ministering the gospel. It's not about being an offense. And heal. Somebody say, and heal. And heal the sick there. In other words, when God sends you a place, there needs to be the manifestation of his glory there. We don't need to hear words and folks still jacked up just the way that they came in the door. When he sends you someplace, he's expecting his virtue to go out amongst the people. He's expecting people to be healed, saved, delivered. He's expecting, he wants to, he desires, amen, to minister to his people. He wants to touch their lives. He wants to see them change in his presence. Oh, glory to God. Mark 3:15 says this. And he gave them authority to cast out demons. So this ain't the time to be getting scared and fearful and afraid and all this other stuff. If he sends you to a place, he's expecting their lives to be changed in that place. I don't care if 25 don't come, if there's one. If there's one, that he came for that one. Quit trying to look for the tens and thousands and the big numbers. Just find out who you're there for. And it's not our job to find out who we affected. Jesus knows, and the people that have been affected know. And heal. And heal the sick there. That healing may be at times laying on of hands. That healing, amen, may be a kind word. That healing, amen, may be prayer that goes forth for those people. That healing may be the preached gospel of Jesus Christ. That healing, it's not always about I got to lay my hands on you. That healing may be those several things that I just mentioned, the healing. But our job, man and woman of God, is to heal the sick wherever he sends us and to say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Matthew 3:2 says, turn from your sins and turn to God because the kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, still preach the kingdom. Still preach salvation. Still tell people that there is a real hell. Still tell people it's still about holiness or hell. Still tell people that they need to live a sanctified life. Still tell the people they can't be sitting here dipping and slipping and tipping and jumping and diving and slipping and sliding. Still tell the people. Don't be talking about the feel-good messages. Get the people the truth. People want truth, and that truth is Jesus Christ. Verse 10 and 7 says this. I'm going to read that and I'm going to go. He said, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead. I'm coming out of Matthew 10 and 7. He said, cure those with leprosy. And cast out demons. Give as freely as you receive. Raise the dead. Some, he thought, spiritually, raise the dead. But some, it may be physically, raise the dead. Curse those with leprosy. Leprosy of the spirit. Listen. Cast out demons. Give as Jesus gave to you, you give to others. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you for this word. Father, I know it was a hard word. I know it was a difficult word. But God, you're challenging us to change. Father, help us to change today in the name of Jesus, to pursue after you with everything that is in our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, that your purpose will be fulfilled in our lives in the name of Jesus. Now, even those that are not saved, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Father, come into my heart and my life. I'm a sinner. Make your abode within me. I want to live for you and do what you called me to do. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man and woman of God, if you prayed that prayer, welcome into the kingdom of God. We pray that God leads you to a Bible-believing and teaching ministry. And that you will do the assigned work that God has called you to do. Listen, I'm Prophetess McQueen, speaking for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Love each and every one of you, and we will see you again on Tuesday at 7 p.m. God bless.